Father, bless this time, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. There was a question about angels. And you guys wanted to know about angels, is that right? So this morning we're going to talk for a few minutes about angels. In Hebrews 12:22, the Bible says that we cannot count the number of angels because there are so many of them. The word is innumerable. It's a big word. It just means boatloads. Lots of angels. So many angels, it's difficult to count them all. But the scholars, the ones who really study the Word of God and get all the meanings and tell us what everything means in their original languages, and the ones who really dig out things from the Bible, the scholars believe that originally God created 750 million angels, which is just an astonishing number. 750 million angels. And He created them in Genesis chapter 1. And we know that they were with God between verses 1 and 4. Now, that may not necessarily mean anything to you right now, but what it means is that He created them before He created man, and He created them probably at the same time that He created the earth. Because at that time, He also created the heavens. And so, we believe that God, when He created heaven, He also populated heaven with angels. And that was about 6,100 years ago. So they were created about 6,100 years ago. And they were created 6 days before we were. But time works differently in heaven than it does here. So while 6 days only passed here, in heaven a lot of time passed. And that's in 2 Peter 3:8. Because with God, what feels like a day to us can be 1,000 years in heaven, but also what feels like 1,000 years to us can only be 1 day in heaven. So what it's saying is that time passes differently in heaven. So from the time the angels were created to the time man was created on earth, it was only 6 days. But it's very possible, based on that scripture, that thousands of years actually passed in heaven that God had just with the angels, these thousands of years. So you have the 750 million angels for thousands of years in heaven, and there's relationships built, governments built, I mean, kind of like people live here in some ways. It's different, but it's the same at the same time. Some things are different, but some things are similar. And we know one of the similar things is that there was order and structure. We know there's buildings in heaven. We know there's streets in heaven, where the streets are made of gold. There's a joke, a guy went to heaven and he said to the angel who was going to take him there, "Can I take a suitcase with me?" Which is an unusual request. And so the angel thought, okay, you can take a suitcase with you. And the guy filled the suitcase with gold. And he gets to heaven, and another angel comes to the angel who escorted him. He said, "I can understand wanting to take something with you, but why pavement?" In heaven, the streets are made of gold. There's a beautiful city there. That's our city. That's where we are going to live. And the Bible says we're citizens of this city. You may be citizens of America right now, but you're also citizens of the city that's called New Jerusalem. That city is found in heaven, and that's going to be our home. And the angels are there now. God created the angels for a couple of different purposes. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 that they are ministering spirits. So that tells us two things. Angels are spirits, but a spirit is not like a ghost. A spirit is simply a being that looks like us, and the Bible does say that they actually do look like us. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 16, they look like us. So if you saw an angel, you would think it's a person. But they don't have the body that we have. They have a different sort of a body. And that's why they're spirits, because their body is different than our bodies, even though they look like us. It is possible for people to see angels from time to time, and many people have. They didn't know it at the time. But then afterwards, something happens, and they realize they saw an angel, that they spoke with an angel. And that's not that unusual. It's actually pretty common. And who knows, maybe it's going to happen in your lives too, that you're going to meet an angel. It's very possible. The angels are many, and they're ministering spirits. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 16, an angel, a very powerful angel, a very high-ranking angel named Gabriel, was sent to Daniel to teach him. That tells us that part of the ministry of angels is to teach us things. Some things we can't know without the angels. So the angels are actually sent at times to teach us things we may not otherwise understand. In Zechariah chapter 3, God sent an angel to teach Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. And God sent the angel to teach him things. Because he was a priest, but he was raised in a country called Babylon, and people weren't really great in Babylon as far as God went. But he didn't know any better. He loved God, but he didn't know the Word of God, really. And his life reflected that. And so God sent an angel to go teach him the ways of God. These angels, Gabriel, he's a communicating angel, a ministering angel. And ministering angels are incredibly important. By the way, every person who believes in God, who's born again, has at least one angel assigned to them all the time. So you may not know it, but like when you're sitting at home in your room, you go to bed in your room, there's an angel there with you. At least one. Some people think two, but at least one. They're called guardian angels. They're a type of ministering angel. Ministering angels do things like take care of you. There's a lot of times, and maybe you've seen it already, but maybe you haven't, but most adults have seen this, that things happen where they could have gotten hurt. And they don't really know how it is that they avoided having those things happen, like a bad car accident or something. Well, the answer is angels take care of them. That's a part of what ministering angels do. Another part of what ministering angels do is different than what we think of as ministering and taking care of us. In Revelation chapter 12, in the 7th verse, the Bible says that one specific angel started a war. Can you imagine that? A war in heaven? But there was one angel that really rebelled against God. This angel was very proud because he was very beautiful. His name was Lucifer. He was the highest ranking angel in heaven for a long time. He was second in command to God. So he was up there. In Ezekiel 28, he's called a covering cherub. And he was the one responsible for keeping the Word of God. In other words, he's the one who had to take care of the Word of God, make sure it didn't get lost. He was the one responsible for the Word of God being communicated to the angels. Kind of like pastors communicate the Word of God here. He was responsible for communicating it in heaven. This angel, the Bible says, was very beautiful. And because he was so beautiful, he got proud. And he decided he was going to be God. And of course, you can't do that because the angels are created. It's like, can you imagine a person say, I'm going to be God? And you look at them like, you're crazy. Well, it happened like that in heaven. This angel named Lucifer said, I'm going to be God. And he started a war. And the Bible says in Revelation 12 that one third of the angels joined Lucifer. That means 250 million angels joined Lucifer against God in a war. But then there was another angel. His name was Michael. Michael is now the most powerful angel in heaven. And Michael is what's called a warring angel. It's like an angelic army, and that's something that angels also do. They formed an army. Now, it's not armies like here on earth, but it's armies to go combat somebody, and that somebody is Lucifer. And God changed Lucifer's name because he was no longer a good angel. He changed his name to Satan. You've heard of Satan? Yeah. He used to be Lucifer. And Satan means accuser. The word actually means accuser. And that's one of the things that he does. He accuses people before God. And what he'll do is he'll make up lies about them, and he'll say they did this when they actually didn't, or they said this when they actually didn't, or sometimes he'll twist things. Like they meant one thing, but he says it in such a way that it sounds like something else. So he twists things. He's a liar. The Bible says he's a liar. And he's a thief. And he's a killer. He's a very dangerous angel. Right? Now, you don't have to be afraid of him. Because for the believer, the Holy Spirit lives inside of the person who accepts Christ. God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of three expressions of God. And the Holy Spirit, therefore, God lives inside of the person. God says He surrounds the person. God says He takes care of the person. So we don't have to be afraid of Satan. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, than Satan. But he's very tricky, though. So now what he does with people, especially believers, but he does this with everybody, but this is the part believers have to be concerned about. He does things like tempt us. And he'll tempt us to do things we know we shouldn't do. For example, you go to the candy store and somebody leaves like really good chocolate on the counter. And they turn away and they're not looking, and Satan says to them, you can take those chocolates. Nobody's looking, nobody will know, and you like those chocolates. You can take those chocolates. That's called temptation. And the Bible said that Satan is a tempter. When that temptation comes, don't listen. That's bad news. It's a lie. Okay, it's a lie. Temptation is always a lie. He says, you can do this and you'll like it. It's a lie. That's the amazing thing. If you do it, turns out you don't like it. It's like saying this. You have a fire. You know, you've seen a campfire or something. And he'll say, like, the fire is pretty. Put your hand in it. It's nice and warm. You like it. But if you put your hand into the fire, you won't like it. It'll burn your hand very badly. That's the way that Satan lies. That's the way he tempts us. When that happens, recognize, oh, Satan is tempting me. Now, that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. Satan tempted Jesus. So it doesn't mean that you did anything wrong, but just like Jesus, you don't listen to him. You say, get away from me, devil. I don't want anything to do with you. The angels that followed in that rebellion against God are now called demons. Demons are angels that have fallen. We call them fallen angels. And by that we mean they fell into rebellion. They fell into sin. They fell into rebellion against God. And their rebellion is still continuing and the war is still going on. That's why sometimes pastors and other people talk about things like the angelic conflict. Like spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the battle amongst the angels. And sometimes that spills out into the world and you get things like wars or bad people killing people and whatever. Right? Terrible things. That's the result of this conflict among the angels. Demons we don't have to be afraid of. We should be aware that they are there, but we have no fear of them. because God has already defeated them. God said, they're defeated. We're going to win this war. Don't you be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. And nobody can defeat God. And He takes care of us. And He lives inside of us. And we live inside of Him. It's kind of amazing. You know how that works? It's like you're in the air, right? You feel the air. If you wave your hand, you can feel the air. But there's also air inside of you every time you inhale. Yeah, you take a breath, air goes in. And so you're in the air, but the air is in you. And it's kind of like that with God. And because it's like that with God, you never have to be afraid of Satan or demons or anything else. So there's angels that come and take care of us. And they also help us in the war against the angels, against the fallen angels. And then there's angels that actually fight a war. And then there's also angels that carry out the plan of God. And those are really the three purposes of the angels. In other words, God's plan has certain details. Those details are taken care of by the angels. God says, in my plan, this thing should happen. In my plan, I want you to go to this place. Or in my plan, whatever it is, it doesn't really make it, you know, the details don't make the difference. It's all going to be taken care of by angels. In other words, how does God make His plan happen? He uses the angels to make it happen. Some things have to happen, and God sends angels to do it. And those angels make God's plan take place. You also asked, who's the devil? The devil is Satan. Okay, the devil is Satan. That's another word for him. And that word, devil, is from the Greek word diabolos, and it means deceiver. So we know that he is an accuser, and we know that he's a deceiver. That's why when you know something is not right, you don't go with it. You may be tempted. You're like, I really do like chocolate, and I could get that and nobody would notice. But it's wrong, and you know it's wrong. So you don't do it. Because there is someone who is deceiving you with temptation. And so we don't go along with the people who try to deceive us. It's like if you know people and maybe like you have a classmate and the classmate you thought was maybe a friend, you weren't quite sure, but you were getting to know them. And all of a sudden, this kid starts lying to you all the time. And you say, oh, well, this person lies to me all the time. This kid lies. I'm not going to be friends with him. He's going to lie to me. It's like that. When you realize that Satan is a liar and a deceiver and a thief, I mean, how many people would be buddies with somebody who's going to steal their lunch every day? And so you realize that Satan is a thief, you don't listen to him anymore. You don't go along with it. He wants something, you ignore him. You don't cooperate. On the other hand, you know God wants something that's going to be for your benefit. It's always going to be good stuff. Whenever God wants something for you, it's always good stuff. And so that you do cooperate with. God may bring a detail into my life. And I'm not sure about the detail, but God promises me that the outcome is good. So it's like this. Has your mom ever said to you, eat all your dinner and then you can have dessert? But maybe it's liver. Nobody likes liver. Mom makes liver for dinner, and you're thinking to yourself, Mom, why did you do this? Liver, I don't like liver. And Mom says, eat your liver, and then you can have dessert. It's kind of like that sometimes with God, because the liver is actually good for you. You may not realize it, but the liver is like really healthy, good for your body stuff. It'll make you stronger. It'll make you grow better. It'll make you healthier. And so Mom's giving you something that's really good for you, but it doesn't always taste so great. Then she says, if you eat the liver, I'll give you dessert. And God does the same thing. You take my plan, and there's going to be times when you don't necessarily understand or even like it so much. But what's coming afterward is really, really good. Just stick with it for a while you deal with the things you may not always like. But what's coming after, you're going to like. It's like really good ice cream. You can have Rocky Road chocolate ice cream and any other kind of ice cream you want. But you got to eat the liver first. But that's okay because the liver is good for you. Like, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. And then, for taking that, what's going to help you, you get something really that you like. And that's sort of how God's plan works, and the angels make it happen. The angels are the ones who bring you into the plan. They bring the plan to you, or they bring you to the plan, whichever one is necessary. But the angels are making it happen. So they're taking care of you. Some of them are soldiers. And some of them are told by God to make the things He has for you happen in your life. Okay?